This is Sound the Shofar on Warn Radio. It is Shabbat and time for fellowship, the Word of God and rest. Join us now as we enter into Sound the Shofar on the Watchman Alert Radio Network.
Welcome to Sound the Shofar. Here is a clue to tonight's study. What you see with your eyes, hear with your ears, may not be enough. Stay tuned for more on this later. It is Friday, the 25th day of March, 2016, and we are glad you joined us. I am Tower, and we are covering the end of days as they happen. This is Warn Radio. The readings in the Word tonight are found in Leviticus chapter 6, verses 8 through chapter 8, verse 36, Jeremiah chapter 7, verses 21 through 8, 3, through chapter 8, verse 3, and chapter 9, verses 22 and 23. And the New Testament reading is found in Hebrews chapter 8, verses 1 through 6. Visit the Lifestyle Store at warn-usa.com, where you will find specially selected top name brand products that range from survival items of all kinds to personal needs and other miscellaneous items. When you need that something extra to help in your journey, go to Warn Radio Lifestyle Store at warn-usa.com. By shopping with Warn Radio in our Lifestyle Store, you are supporting the WIBR Warn Radio Ministries and helping to ensure this message continues to get out. And the Watchman and I thank you very much. We appreciate all our listeners and supporters and those who pray for us. God bless you. And now I welcome in the Watchman.
Hello. How are we doing?
So far. Great. How are you doing?
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you.
Well, my volume is up a lot more, so if you can't hear me,
yeah, I can hear you better.
I'm going to have to come back and scream in your ear.
I can hear you, dude.
Well, good. Well, at any rate, we are here on a Friday night, the Sabbath. Of course, you know what that means. We're glad to be entering into Sabbath and hitting the weekend. Because during the week, a lot of stuff going on, and this is a time for us to be able to take a rest.
It's been a good week, but it's sure gone fast. I can't believe that it's Friday again.
Oh, I know, man. Time just flies, and we're through March.
You know, this is the last Friday in March.
Yeah. And, you know, it ends, what, next Wednesday? Next Thursday?
Thursday, yep.
April Fool's is coming up. That's when we elect all our politicians.
That's when they should have the elections.
I know, that. Oh, not really, but, you know, that's April Fool's. Well,
yeah.
Well, at any rate, we were going to talk about something tonight, and...
Do you remember what it was?
Yes, I do.
Oreo cookies.
And, yeah, well, we were going to talk about Oreo cookies, and I'll let you go ahead, and you got the article there?
Yes,
what do you
I
read?
Do.
Okay, read some of the highlight, and then we'll talk about it.
Nabisco is expected to cut 277 workers this week, the first wave in a total of 600 layoffs, as the company that makes Oreos, Chips Ahoy, and Nilla Wafers shifts work to a Mexico plant where it has invested $130 million in a new cookie and cracker production line. Nabisco issued a 60-day notice to affect employees in mid-January about the layoff. That group of employees are now leaving the business, said Lori Guzzanotti, a spokeswoman for Nabisco parent company, Mondelez International. Republican Trump and Democrat Clinton both have criticized Nabisco for the move. Both have promised to pursue legislation, if elected, to force companies like Nabisco to pay back tax benefits they've received if they send jobs offshore. One of the forerunner companies of Mondelez, RJR Nabisco, was promised $90 million in incentives from the city of Chicago and state in the early 1990s to remain in Chicago. Isn't that a crock?
Well, it is. And you know, I just first noticed that Mondelez. I'll bet that's a foreign company. Oh.
It sounds like it might be Spanish or Mexican or something.
Mondelez? I don't know where they're from, but, you know, the thing of it is, you know, the reason we wanted to cover this is because Oreos are really popular, the Chips Ahoy are really popular, the Nello wafers, Nabisco's popular, and Nabisco, and then you have RJR Nabisco, and then you have this other company that apparently bought them out. And, you know, they're moving to Mexico, and I remember years ago when we first started this wave of moving American companies overseas, and the first place they were moving them to was Mexico. And so now we've got these people moving to Mexico after, of course, they promised, the city of Chicago promised RJR Nabisco $90 million in incentives. So now since RJR sold that to Mondelez, Mondelez isn't responsible to stay there, apparently. So they're taking the company and moving it. And this is irritating. And until our politicians and until America can get to the point to keep our companies here where they belong, we're going to be in trouble. You know, Tower, this is really irritating. You know this when we see
it. It is. It's outrageous. It's wrong. But it's all about the money. It's not about the people anymore. Used to be when my dad and your dad were working, but not anymore. They, that Mondelez was formerly called J.L. Kraft and Brothers Company, National Dairy Products Kraft Foods Incorporated. And it's based out of it's headquartered in Deerfield, Illinois.
What Mondelez is?
Yep.
So it's not a foreign company?
Nope.
Well, I'd be, you know, I almost thought for sure it was, you know.
Me too. But it's international, Mondelez International. It's an international company.
Oh.
Publicly traded.
It probably has an overseas something. Yeah, you'd have to find out the original source of it, because there's a lot of companies that will have an American address for the corporate, but the money comes from overseas.
Yeah.
I don't know. And that's, you know, some time ago I was talking about this too, that a lot of your companies today are not just corporations. They're international corporations, and they trade in all that, not just the dollar. You know, so if something happened to the American economy, they have fingers in other places. And I remember years and years and years ago, and this was about the time that we were having the oil thing, and there was Worthington Pumps and Onan and a bunch of these others, and it was Worthington Pumps? I'm trying to think which one it was, but it was a major oil producer, supplier of stuff into the oil patch, the heavy duty stuff.
Oh, I'm not sure.
And they were providing a lot of stuff for Saudi Arabia and a lot of these companies. At the same time, these foreign companies were trying to cut our throat during the 70s. I remember that because I looked it up. I was working at the time for a company that worked and provided pumps and units, you know, gaso pumps, Superior,
yeah.
Worthington, Onan generators. And come to find out that even Onan was a company that was actually owned at the time by Ford, a company that had Ford at the same time. This is back in the 70s. And I was surprised at how many different links in the chain these companies have, because you could have one thing and you don't think it's linked to anything, but it is. And matter of fact, it was a major American corporation that had a lot of stuff going with, you know, Saudi Arabia and some of these others. They were providing the equipment for them to pump all the oil, which they were using to, you know, cut our throat over here in America. And it was American technology over there, but yet the American corporation was here in America, and they were getting a major profit off of it at the same time that the people that they were providing it for were trying to cut our throats over here. Now, this is the way it was working then.
Yeah, what a crock.
Well, and you know, I mean, this goes way back to, you know, Walmart and all these others. If you go into the, you know, like your main kitchen appliances, you know, your coffee pots and all the other stuff,
oh, yeah.
Over the box and look and see where it's made. 90-some% of all of those things are made in China. Almost all of them are made in China. They will have different boxes and different companies, and they will all be made in China. And one will
yep.
be like $30 more than the other one, and they're both made in China. And so this is really the problem here. And until we have politicians that will change this, you know, we're going to be up to crick. And, you know, unfortunately, there's nobody on there that I think is going to be doing it. It would take a businessman. Trump openly said that he would take care of it. But, you know, we really don't know what Trump would do. You know, there are a lot of people that that say, you know, that they're you know, afraid of a Trump presidency, but you know, if you listen to him rattle off the figures and talk about you know, the deficit and various other things, he came out the other day and said NATO was, you know, out of date, you know. And of course, before you knew it, there was companies that there were articles and stuff saying, well, he was wrong because this is the proof. But see, the thing of it is that although NATO is active right now and doing stuff, it's still out of date. It was put there during World War II, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, and it was meant to take care of certain things during the Cold War. And you know, now you've got NATO, and you know, you got the UN, you got all this garbage going on.
Oh, I know.
At any rate, so now that now they're still going to make some Oreos and stuff in America, but the issue here is that they're closing this factory, you know, stopping this factory line in Chicago, laying off a bunch of people. And
that's just wrong.
Yeah, and they're transferring a bunch. And, you know, the thing of it is that it's still going to be doing some things there. I'm not sure exactly what it's going to be doing. It's in the article. But, you know, the bottom line of it is, it really gets irritating when you have major corporations like this that make top brand snacks and various other things, and they decide to move out of the country or move down to Mexico. And the reason it's cheaper is because everything's cheaper down there. The labor's cheaper. And so naturally, you know, they go down there, they're going to save money. But the bottom
yeah.
line of it is that this is where it is a crock to have an American company or a company that buys an American company and take it and move it overseas just for money, just to get more on the bottom line.
They spent, they spent $140 million.
Yeah.
Where did I, invested $130 million in the new cookie and cracker promotion line. But, and they opted to do that because it's going to save them $46 million a year. So it's going to take them a few years to recover. You know, that's crazy. They're spending $130 million to save $46 million.
Well, you know, the thing of it is that it all goes back to the same thing, you know, and that is, you know, and this was in the article. They were talking about in America you have more security than you do in Mexico.
Yeah.
And, you know, the big thing of it is we have too many companies that do this all the time. And America is not known for being a friend of business like it should be, and so
we've
got major problems. California has them too, because a lot of companies moved out of California because of the way California was doing stuff. This whole thing is a pain. So at any rate, if you're eating Oreos, I don't know what to tell you. I would chuck the Nabisco.
Yeah.
Nabisco's going to be last on my line of things I buy. Nabisco can kiss the dirt. Period. Another company is Starbucks. They can kiss the dirt too.
I've gotten the Starbucks for years since they came out and said they didn't need the Christian's business, so.
That's right. Yeah, we
stopped
going.
They got the gay agenda, so they don't need my business. I don't need them.
Well, that was the president of the company that said that. He said, we don't need the Christians coming. Okay, fine. I ain't going to come. And it's going to be a cold day and you know where before I'm going to have anything to do with Starbucks. You know, and you can make riches and you can do everything you want to do, but frankly, I don't want anything to do with you.
Nope.
Because you're a filthy company. And it's not because of the gays. It's because of the way you operate. Period.
Yeah, that's right.
We've got more than just gay and lesbian problems in this country. If all we had was a problem with the gays and lesbians, it'd be different, but we don't. You know?
Well, I know.
Just the way it is. We've got a lot of problems in this whole country. You know, they were, there was another story that hit the news. This also came out of Chicago, by the way. And in Chicago, there was a 9-year-old boy who was playing on a swing, you know, in a playground there, a little black boy. And the 17-year-old kid came up, started talking to him. He was another black kid. And they, you know, apparently he had asked the kid if he wanted to go to the local, Quick Mart, and he was going to buy him a soda or whatever it was. Can't remember what it was. So as soon as they got out of sight, this 17-year-old lined him up and assassinated the little boy.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it hit the news.
That's...
And the people, it was all kinds of outrage because it was a 17-year-old gang banger who killed the young boy because of his own dad's connection with another gang banger.
That's horrible.
Yeah. Yeah, 9-year-old. And he assassinated the kid. He shot him several times. I mean, his finger was blown off, and so he had been trying to protect himself. This is the state of the country. It's sickening.
Oh, it is. That's horrible. Dear Lord.
And they've got the most stringent gun laws in the entire nation.
Yep.
Right now. You couldn't.
Works well for them, doesn't it?
Chicago. Yeah, it does. You know? In this case, the kid didn't have a chance. You know? And the mother was probably working somewhere, or maybe she was home, but, you know, I mean, he was playing in a playground. And they said this is becoming more common, kids playing, you know, at home or in a playground or something where they should be safe, and they're not safe.
Yeah, you can't even let your kids out in the yard to play anymore.
No, you can't. And this is, I feel for this mother. You know,
unsupervised. You can't unsupervised. Yeah, I do too. That's horrible. There'd be nothing worse.
I can tell you as a parent, you would want to hunt this yahoo down. And you would want to take your time in killing him. I mean, you would really want... You know,
to torture him, that's the flesh.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly what it is. I mean, that's what you would want to do to this idiot. But here you go, you know, some stupid gangbanger who think it's really cool and the assassinated, apparently who knows what happened. You know, nobody knows the backstory on this, but, you know, the only thing we can do, you know, in something like that, you forgive them. And you move on and let the Lord take care of this yahoo.
Yeah.
Because the Lord's justice will be a lot worse than anything that you could do to him. That's what I was getting at. Is that although
exactly.
You feel like doing these things, you know, you don't do them because you rest in the fact that God is the judge. He will recompense. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And so you
Amen.
Let him. You know, you let them do it.
Yeah, that's right. It's all you can do.
But by the time you get done with, you know, the bad news, and you look at all the stuff happening in the world, and your own busyness that you have, by the time you get, you know, a chance to have a day off or a weekend off, for us it's Sabbath and the weekend, you know, you're ready for it because I don't do the websites, I don't mess with them, you know, I totally stay away from everything and I try to work out in the yard when I can. In the summertime you'll always find me in the yard or the garden or doing something. I won't have nothing to do with it. And so you need to have that time, you know, away.
You do.
But, you know, it's so gut-wrenching, though, the things that people will do.
How it is.
You know, and you could say, well, what would possess a 17-year-old to kill a 9-year-old? And the only thing you can say is the devil. I mean, that's it. You know, they're possessed
of
the devil. To do this kind of thing. And so, you know, there's... You know, this whole thing is just thoroughly irritating.
Disturbing.
Yeah. You know, it just is. You just, you know, you know things happen, but in your reality, you know, your morality, you can't fathom somebody that cold-hearted. But see, that's the day and age we live in. People today are wicked and evil and cold-hearted. They just have no feeling. You know, nothing. There's nothing there.
Nope.
You know, and that's, for me, is really where...
It is. It wears on you. It does. It's disturbing.
Well, Well, at any rate, we're glad you join us whenever you do. And we are glad to be heading into April and getting everything ready here. We do have a lot of work to do around here this spring and summer. We got a ton of work to do. I mean, we got more than we usually do. You know?
That's for sure.
See, you work all of your life, and then you retire. And what comes after retirement? You want to go back to work so you don't have to work so hard.
Yeah, that's funny.
I mean, like your brother and sister, and sister-in-law, you know, they're gone all the time.
And both my cousins that have retired, they're busier than when they worked, they said.
Yeah, that's the way it is. You know, it's just amazing how that works. Now, see.
Yeah.
You know, working on the websites and doing everything we're doing, you know, it takes a lot of time. And it takes money, you know. I mean, it just takes a lot of things to be able to keep these things going. So,
yep.
Well, at any rate, we're going to be studying tonight Revealing Jesus, the Father's Will. And this is an interesting study. And
yeah, it sounds interesting. I'm looking forward to it.
So we are going to be talking about revealing Jesus. And we're going to take it from the standpoint of what he did and what he said. And it'll be mainly out of the Gospels, of course. It's a really a good study for an Easter weekend. I don't keep Easter. I keep Passover. But I did catch a story earlier today that they want to try to fix it to where Easter will fall closer to the real date of the crucifixion. I think that's a good idea. I don't know how you do that. You know, but at any rate, you know, they said, why is it so early this year? It's probably because of a leap year.
Because I don't know.
This is when everybody leaps. This is why we call it leap year. Well, at any rate, I'm going to get started on this.
Okay.
Because we do want to do that, so we'll see you on the other side. Father, we thank you for your word. Ask for your anointing to preach and teach this word, your anointing on those that hear this. Lord God, open up their understanding and bless them. And I send forth this anointed word across the phone lines, the internet connection to the uttermost part of the earth. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from the preaching, teaching, streaming, and receiving of this word and all of the parts of this broadcast. In Jesus' name, you are bound. Okay. In the New Testament, the word Father is found 369 times in 326 verses. It's an important word. Now, not all of those refer to the Father, okay? But there is a majority of those uses is directly associated with Jesus Christ and his Father. And this is why it's important to understand that in the Gospels you can't disassociate the Father from the Son. Now see, that's what the Muslims do. And in John, you'll find this in 1 John. I think it's about the third chapter of 1 John. You know, he talks about the Antichrist, and he talks about how these people want to do that, and that is removing the Father from the Son. You can't do that. And so that's why, you know, the God of Islam is not the same as the God of Christianity, let alone the God of Islam has ISIS going around chopping heads off, lopping heads off, cutting people in half, raping, pillaging. Yeah, well, that's not a God of love that's telling you to do that. Now, in the Gospel in Acts, we look at the word Father. Now, this is in the Gospels and Acts, when you put those together. I think I miss... No, that's not right either. Yeah, that's just the Gospels and Acts, because the other one is in the New Testament. That's all the books together. This one, if you just take Matthew, Mark, Luke, you throw John in there and put in Acts, the Father is used 273 times in 235 verses. And so that's where you find a majority of the uses of that, but it's 369 times Father's used in the entirety of the New Testament. Now, there's one thing that when we start out here, this is very important. Because when we talk about revealing Jesus, the Father's will, you see, when Yahshua, or you can call him Jesus, was walking this earth, you had the Sanhedrin, you had the Pharisees, you had the Apostle Paul that was around at the time too, and you had the high priest, and they knew the original languages, the original tongues, they knew the prophecies. And they saw this young preacher, teacher. He wasn't a preacher to them, that's a Gentile term. Rabbi. They began calling him prophet, Messiah, or the anointed one, the Christ. But you see, of all people that should have known who this young rabbi was, this young, and of course he wasn't a rabbi, I say that because that's what he really was. He was a priest, a prophet, king, the suffering servant. But you see, the high priest and you go right on down the list, even the Apostle Paul, the Pharisees, you know, they didn't recognize him. Okay, that's enough. I'm using Windows 10 and Cortana just did a search for the Apostle Paul. I don't need your help. That's the problem with doing these shows on Windows 10. They haven't figured out how to shut this thing up. I mean, it'll just, most of the time I don't have any problem. But at any rate, back to this. So at any rate, they didn't know him. Now, they saw him with their eyes. They heard him with their ears. They watched the crowds. They saw his miracles. Yet they did not believe that he was who he said he was. Matter of fact, they sought to kill him many times. And they sought to get rid of him. So that's why at the beginning of this, when we talk about tonight's study, it's not enough to see with your eyes and hear with your ears. Because in order to understand Jesus, Yahshua, and the Father, both of them, it has to be revealed to you, because the Father is spiritually discerned and so is Christ. You're not going to know them through the flesh. I mean, you will know them to a certain extent, but you will not know them as the Messiah. And this is exactly what happened in the Gospels when they talk about that. Now, Matthew 13, and this is why we're starting here, because it's very important. In the world today, we have a lot of people that know about Jesus Christ. They know about Christianity. But it is a head knowledge. It is a knowledge that, based on history and what history says, people that don't care to follow him, but they've heard of him. You know, they're not a follower, they're not a Christian, but they've heard of him. So Matthew 13:54, and when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Now see, Christ came, and the form that he chose was to be of a man, a human, a flesh. But he had never sinned. And he was fully God and fully man. He gave up his glory to do this, and he entered in to the womb and became born of a virgin. And even that is disputed, even by pastors today, some of them. I believe it. I know it's the truth. But you see, this is the way the world is, and this is the way religion has become. Well, it's not natural, it could never happen, so we don't believe it. But you see, Christ knew who he was, even from a boy. And he had the wisdom, and he was taught along the way, and it was revealed even more. The Father, he said the Father told him the things. I mean, he was taught, literally. And you can say that he was taught directly by angels. But see, he was recognized and was and is the Son of God, even at a young age. He was the Messiah. See, filled had all the fullness of the Godhead bodily in him. And it's hard for us to understand this. But see, why it is so important is because it is not natural. It is supernatural. And you can't understand this through just human wisdom, because it doesn't happen all the time. It doesn't happen at all. And to think that God would send his own son to die on the cross for you, that is not natural either. That's supernatural. Now see, they said, and this is how they reasoned this when they saw him doing this, because his wisdom, where did he get this wisdom? I mean, you would have thought that, you know, he had come from the Sanhedrin, one of the top scholars. Who taught him? Now see, the Apostle Paul didn't believe who he was either, because it wasn't until the Lord appeared to him that the Apostle Paul woke up and he said, I did it ignorantly. So even Paul, with all of his knowledge of the law, and he said he kept it, he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. See, he didn't even recognize the Son of God. And he would have been there, he would have listened to him, he would have watched. He wouldn't have had any answers. Wasn't until Christ appeared to him that he understood. See, and this, the reasoning then is in the next verse, 55. Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? See, they could not rationalize it in their mind that a carpenter's son, you know, they knew the family. And to have him teach like this, I mean, this is a kid. He wasn't a Pharisee. He wasn't a Levite, to where he would have been able to, you know, be a priest, per se. Matter of fact, the prophecy on him is that he is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. And the reason that is, Melchizedek had no beginning or end. And so this one had no beginning or end. Because he was the Son of God before he entered into Mary, into her womb, and became a human, supernatural. And see, they can't figure this out. And in the world today, you have a lot of preachers that preach in the natural. They will get into the Word of God, they'll do a lot of things, but there's no anointing, no Spirit of God. It's all a natural, secular type, feely-good gospel. See, nothing about Christ is feely good, sugar coated. He is the Son of God. And they couldn't figure it out. And it says, and they were offended in him. And Jesus told them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and his own house. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. They simply did not believe. The Son of God, who did mighty works all over, could do nothing, not much, because of them. Unbelief in his own hometown. Revealing Jesus. Who is he? Who is he to you? That is going to be the question in eternity. It's not going to be enough for you to say, well, and when you stand before the great white throne judgment, say, well, he was a good teacher. He was a good man. I believe that that's who he was. It's not enough. It says, to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. It says, that's John chapter 1. John chapter 3 says that you have to be born again of the Spirit, which confused Nicodemus, who was talking to Jesus in John chapter 3. But see, he came, but he didn't come, you know, to condemn the world, but that the world through him would be saved. But yet many, and in John chapter 3 it tells you, will not come because of darkness. They love darkness more than light. They won't come into the light of Christ. They won't repent. They won't seek him. They won't become one of his. See, this is a revelation. This is supernatural. You have to know him supernaturally in the Spirit, be born again that way. Because the supernatural, the Spirit of God, touches the natural. Things flow out of the Spirit. Christ himself said, my words are spirit and they are life. Believe it or not, your words are spirit and they are life. If you speak the word of God, if you speak it by faith, and if you speak your own things in accordance with the will of God, you pray that way. So we're going to take a journey on revealing Jesus, the Father's will. Now, the first thing that you have to understand is the Father's will is what sent the Son of God. John 6:9 says this, and this is the Father's will which has sent me. The Father's will. Not his will. The Father's will. That of all which he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Now see, this is very important. You see here, he says, of all that which he has given me. You see, you can't just come to the Father anytime you want to. can't just come to the sun and think you're going to get saved whenever you want to. There's a time when God draws you. The Spirit draws you. But you see, those that the Father drew to His Son. Now see, it was the Father's will that all men everywhere would repent. See, God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son that none should perish, but people will perish. They will not listen. They will not repent. They will not believe. We see that today. So it was the Father's will which sent Him, and part of that will is that Christ would lose nothing that the Father's given Him, but He would raise it up the last day. See, you and I, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. But see, we are going to inherit the earth. When we see Him, we will be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. But see, Christ will raise up. He will raise up the wicked so they can stand before Him on that day we call the great day of judgment, the great white throne judgment. Now, see, that's the second death. The first death, see, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. That's your body that you've been born into. It's been given unto you to die, and after this the judgment. Now, see, when you've come to the Son, and you have been truly born again, according to Scripture, and you follow Him, the first death is the only death, you know, you're going to die. Your body eventually is going to die. It has to die. It is part of the fallen nature. Your mind, body, that's the fallen nature. And this body's the fallen nature. And it is going to die. That's the first death. The second death is when your spirit, when you are standing as you, but you're not standing in your body, you're standing, but you are a spirit. And you're standing before the Father of spirits being judged on the great white throne judgment. And He will show you the book. There will be a place where your name should have been to show you that there was a place there for you. But if, when you stand on that, see, the second death will have no power on those who have been born again through the Spirit, who have been believing in the Son of God. See, that is the purpose that God sent His Son. So that you and I would be redeemed in the second death when all spirits, human spirits, stand before the Father of spirits who has handed all the judgment over to His Son, Yahshua, Jesus Christ. And He will judge you. John 4:34 says, "My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work." John 6:38, "I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him that sent me." You cannot separate the Son of God from the Father or the Father's will. to say that Christ came and he, you know, became the new CEO of everything, and God the Father was put out to pasture. That is a misinterpretation and a misunderstanding completely. The Son did not replace the Father. The Son came because it was the Father's will for him to come. It was the Father's will to finish the work which they had talked about before creation, and that was the redemption of man. So you cannot separate the Father from the Son. And you cannot say that this God is the same God as the Muslims or some other religion. There's only one way to get to this Father, and this is through the Son. If you do not have the Father, you cannot have the Son. And if you do not have the Son, you cannot have the Father. Period. Now, here's another thing. Everyone which seeth the Son. John 6:40, the very next verse after the other one that said, this is the Father's will which sent me, that of all that which he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up the last day. The next verse, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up the last day. He explains it a little more. The will of the Father, which has sent me. Of all that the Father's given Christ, he was to lose nothing, because it all hinged on the fact that everyone which saw the Son and believed on him may have everlasting life. And I'll raise him up the last day. May have everlasting life. And as I've said before, this is there for anybody. I don't care whether you're Hindu, whether you're a Sikh, whether you're a Buddhist, an atheist, or a Muslim, or whatever faith you are, or no faith at all. God set this up through the Son, that all men, all women, all humans, and they're all subject to this fallen nature, which has the spirit, their spirit, that's who they really are, in them. Because the Father of spirit is not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. So when Christ came, everyone which saw him and believed on him may have. And that's where he goes into a lot of things. Like, for instance, those who continue in my word are my disciples indeed. When we talk about the word believe in the Greek, it's not like we have the word believe in America. This word has a trust in, cling to. Believe upon. You believe on him. You trust in him. And you cling to him. You walk in him. It's action. It's not just believing in your head. Well, I believe. Anybody can do that. Even the devils believe and they're not saved. Luke 10:22. All things are delivered to me of my Father. And no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. All things were given to the Son. by the Father. And he says, no man knows who the Son is but the Father. When he first came, nobody knew who he was except the Father. And no one knew who the Father was but the Son. And he to whom the Son will reveal him. Matthew 11:27 says basically the same thing. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. No man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. It takes a revelation. See, it's not worldly wisdom, but it's through the Spirit. It's revelation. It's waking your spirit up, that inner man, to know the truth. And that's why it's so important to sow the Word of God. Because that is the seed that gets into the hearts of men. You see, there's a lot of people in this old world that know of the Christian's Savior, Jesus Christ. But that's as far as it goes. They do not know the Son. They do not read His Word. They do not obey His Word. They do not get in Him. They do not consider themselves anything of a fact that they're His disciples at all. Being born again of the Spirit. And see, when we begin to talk about living in this old world as His disciples, and understanding just who is our brethren in Christ. Is it everybody that claims to know Him? Everybody that goes to some church somewhere? Is it just a human being because we're all humans? In Matthew 12:50, He said, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same as my brother, sister, and mother. The will of the Father was that whosoever would see His Son and believe on Him, trust in, rely on, and cling to, would have everlasting life. Further, when we read what He taught, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, continue in my word, He said. So you want to know who your brother and sister is, it is that one that does the will of the Father which is in heaven. That's what Christ said. The bottom line of it is that when this whole thing comes to an end, God will have the righteous. He will have those who are His sons. They will be the first fruits after His own Son. Matthew 13:43 says, then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. You see, you're going to be in glorified bodies. You are going to be with the Father and the Son. But you will shine forth as the Son itself. You will be in glory, and you yourself will have glory. And this is why Christ said in Luke 9:26, folks, you are in the world, but you're not of the world. And see, we have a lot of people that, you know, they're kind of wishy-washy on some of this stuff that we talk about. I mean, quite a bit of it. That's why Christ simply said, for whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. See, we live in a wicked world. We live in a world, like in Psalm 2, where the nations are raging. And they want to do away with this bonds, these chains that the Father has put on them, meaning there's certain things you can do and certain things you shouldn't do. Paul picks it up in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and said the world will reject the love of the truth, which is the gospel, the love of the Father and the love of the Son. See, that's the kind of generation you're living in right now. And see, today, Christ expects you to follow him, to keep his word, and not be ashamed of who you believe in. But there's coming a time, folks, that when that dark one gets up there, he's going to make war against the true saints. And who are the saints? These are the ones that have the faith of Jesus, the testimony of Christ Jesus, and they keep the commandments of God. In other words, they do just what the Son of God said. If you love me, keep my commandments. But this world, you know, we find it all the time. You know, you have Christians that, well, we can't do that because that's against our beliefs. And then the world gets mad at them. And so the world calls them haters and every other kind of name because they're not willing to do the very things that everybody else is doing. What's the matter with this? There's nothing the matter with that. There's no such thing as sin as you discuss it. I mean, you're interpreting it wrong, Christian. You can't do that. God is love. You can do anything you want to do. No, you can't. And so Christ expects us to be that light, to have that testimony, to stand up. We are to be living in the world as his disciples with his light, understanding that the world hated him before it hated us. And you're living in the end of days, so this is a generation that's especially hard. We are the generation coming out of World War II is one of the biggest generations there ever was. And then we have our kids and our kids' kids. We are the one. It's our generation and the generations around us, this huge generation. I mean, talk about making money and being rich. We're not satisfied with just little money. We have to have it all. This is the generation you're in. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Greedy. High-minded. And there's a whole bunch of other things that Paul talks about in Timothy. But see, we're in that generation. And in this generation, as wicked as it is, you can't be ashamed of Christ and who you are. You need to stand up. This is what the scripture, there's only one truth in this world, and that's the Bible, and we stand on that word. And no, we can't make peace with saviors here. We can love the Muslim, we can love the Sikhs, we can love the homosexuals and the lesbians, but we cannot abide with the sin. We cannot abide with saying, okay, it doesn't matter that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you want to believe that, that's fine. You can still go to heaven. No, that's wrong. We cannot make that judgment because the Word of God won't let us, and neither will the Father or the Son or the Spirit of God. There is one way to the Father, and that's through the Son. And if you do not have the Son, you will not have the Father, and you cannot have the Father without first going through the Son. Period. End of story. And see, this is where we fundamentally run into trouble in today's world. They want to be politically correct. Even your churches want to be politically correct. A feel-good, sugar-coated gospel. We don't preach about sin. Come on in. But this is where we're at. This is where we're at tonight. We are in a place tonight that you and I are living in the world as His disciples. We know Him because He's revealed Himself to us. We have been born again through the Spirit, revealing Jesus. Remember, you have things. By things, I mean the gospel, being born again, knowing the Lord. Even the high priest didn't get this, folks. Paul didn't even get it until, as I said previously, the Lord appeared to him. The Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the lawyers, they didn't get it. People in Jesus' hometown didn't even get it. And they were around the prophets and the Torah all the time and the Tanakh. Now, fast forward to today. That's why straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leads to life everlasting. And wide is the gate and wide is the path that leads to destruction. And this battle is not going to stop on our watch, folks. It's going to get worse. The Muslims that are committing jihad, they will never stop. And when they pass over that veil looking to go to paradise and have all them women and the wine and all the rest of the stuff they believe, they're going to go to a devil's hell. It doesn't have to be that way. But you see, this is the way it is. And this is the battle on this planet right now. This is why Christ came. This is why the Father had a will to send His Son. It's revealing Jesus and the Father's will. You see, Jesus' mission was to do the Father's will, and the Father's will was that everybody would see Jesus and have Him revealed to them for who He really was. His only begotten Son, who died on the cross for their sins, and thus, believing on Him and walking in His ways, you can be saved. Many of the Jews don't even believe that. Many of the Jews are still blinded, and many of them were blinded at the time. They were looking for a political Messiah. Matter of fact, and we've got it here, we're going to talk about it. Many of them, when he did miracles and signs and wonders, they wanted to make him king. That's not the Father's will. When he stood and was questioned by Pilate, and when he went through all of that, he said, if my kingdom was of this world, then my servants would fight. And then it was said to Jesus, then you are a king. Jesus says, thou saidst. Now see, he is coming back to set up a kingdom for 1,000 years, and after that it's going to continue. As the greater son of David, he will sit on his throne as the greater son of David to fulfill that prophecy. It's going to happen. And the righteous are going to be kings and priests unto God, ruling and reigning with him at that time. But he's coming back. At the time, his mission was to go to the cross. That's what it was. So at that time, his kingdom wasn't of this earth. But he's coming back again, not as the suffering servant, but as the warrior king. And he's going to put down every enemy. He's going to see to it that Satan is bound for 1,000 years. And he's going to rule with a rod of iron in the earth. He's going to require people to come up to Jerusalem to worship the king. Tabernacles. Look at Zechariah 14. See, this is who you serve tonight. And you either have to have this in your heart, revealed to you by the Spirit, and truly believe it. Because many people cannot believe this. Worshiping the Father in spirit and truth. John 4:21. This is the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, and she was asking him about where would you worship. And Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. And then verse 23, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him in spirit and in truth. When you get saved, you have the Spirit of God. And then there's another anointing beyond that. But every believer has the Spirit of God. And then there is the infilling. Acts chapter 2 is all about that. Luke 24:49, he told his disciples, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye here in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. That's that extra anointing. And that came at Pentecost. But see, it's about worshiping the Father in spirit and truth. It's not the buildings that make you, you know, a son of God. Okay? The temple, you know, churches, denominations, they are meeting places for people who've been born again, who have the Spirit of God in them. And when you meet with other Christians, behold, he is in the midst where two or more are gathered. Why? Because your spirit bears witness with his spirit, meaning the Son of God, that you're a child of God, because you have the Spirit of God in you. So when you get together with other Christians, that is that fellowship with the Father, and you worship and you wish with other Christians. You see, that is where it's at. And when we make the building, when we make the denomination, when we make the traditions of men, all these things man-made more important than the Word of God, that's where we run into trouble. And then you go through the centuries, and all these people are taught that till they get to the point that the Word of God is made of none effect and nobody believes it anymore, because they're keeping the traditions of men over the Word of God. That's why when we teach and we preach, we go back to the gospel, to the Word of God, as it came out, that came from the Son of God to the apostles, and as they taught it to those around them. We take the Word of God as it was given to Moses, and we go through it, and we teach that. And we also tell you the Jesus, because he died on the cross, was crucified, the blood of the covenant. We don't do sacrifices anymore. There's a good portion of that that's been fulfilled. But see, this is the essence and the nugget of where you are. Now, what I went through is the introduction. Now, we're in part one. Revealing Jesus, the Father's Will, part one. In John 5, there's a discourse in there on the Father and the Son. Verse 18, John chapter 5. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Now you see, the Jews who kept the law had the Sabbath to the point. And as Jesus said, the Sabbath was made for man. Man wasn't made for the Sabbath. And the Son of God is Lord even of the Sabbath. But see, because in their little discourses, in their little traditions, they had put so much on Sabbath and all the things you had to do, they themselves would wind up breaking it. Of course, Paul did say that he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. See, so Sabbath became the chief thing here. See, and that was the thinking. If we kept all these laws perfectly, then we're going to be holy before God. When no man is going to be justified by the law. And the fact that Yahshua called God his Father, that also made him absolutely want to kill him. So this is the context of what Jesus begins to tell the Jews who are going to kill him. Remember, he's talking to Jews, tradition. You've made the Word of God of none effect by your traditions. That's what they had done. And he couldn't lie. God was his Father. So he's speaking to Jews who want to kill him, to think he broke the Sabbath and that he was a blasphemer and a liar because he said that he was equal to God. And no man is equal to God in their teaching and understanding. So this is Christ. He said, verily, verily, or truthfully, truthfully, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. In other words, he didn't make anything up. He's saying, I can do nothing of myself. See, now they said, you know, they sought to kill him, not just because of the Sabbath, but that he said God was his Father. So he turns right around and says, well, God's my Father. I see the Father and what he does. And when he does these things, I do them too. So he's not saying, I'm not the Son of God. He's reinforcing it. He's turning right around and telling him, hey, I see my Father do these things. And whatever he does, that's what I do, because I'm his Son. He went on to say, for the Father loveth the Son, and shows him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. Because the Father reveals this to the Son, and the Son's going to do these works, and these people who are opposing him now, who want to kill him, are going to marvel, and they won't be able to explain it. Even the high priest couldn't. The Pharisees couldn't. They didn't know what to do with this rabbi, this one that they were calling the prophet, the Messiah, the Christ. I mean, what do you do with somebody that raises people from the dead? What do you do when the blind see? And it's just like that. I mean, it's just like normal. The miracles were so astounding. They were like they were normal miracles. Nobody does those things. But he does. What do you do with someone like that? You marvel. He tells you the Father showed you, and are you going to argue with him? What can you do? Can you raise the dead? No. All you can do is get mad at him because he claims to be the Son of God, and he raises people from the dead, and you want to kill him because you're jealous. You're full of religion. And you don't understand. You marvel. But yet even in your marveling, you're full of unbelief. Because you want to kill him. You can't do those things. You need to shut up. And you need to listen. Maybe you learn something. But see, they wouldn't do that. They plotted. So when you get in the earth in these last days and God starts using you, don't be surprised if they're hardened and they don't want to listen. Because that's what happened to Christ. He goes on to say, for as the Father raises up the dead and quickens him, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. And what's he doing here? He's talking about his Father. And he's telling him that he's the Son. And that's the very thing they want to kill him with. Does he run away from him? No. Does he ignore the subject? No. What does he do? He tells him. He turns around and tells him, hey, my Father talks to me all the time. He tells me what to do. I'm the Son. The Son will do whatever the Father wants me to do. Therefore, I will quicken. I will raise him up from the dead. And that's exactly what he did. You can't argue with him. You may want to kill him because you're jealous and stubborn and hard-hearted. I mean, you've been in the temple all of your life. You've been studying all of your life. You've been trying to keep all these things, and yet you have this guy come out of nowhere, and he's raising people from the dead and telling you he's the Son of God. You're trying to figure it out. Shut up and listen. Maybe God will grant you repentance. For the Father judgeth no man, but has committed all judgment unto the Son. In other words, be careful. The Son is going to be doing the judgment. That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which has sent him. See, there again. They wanted to kill him. Because he broke the Sabbath, but also that he said God was his father. He said he was making himself equal to God. They want to kill him for that. He doesn't deny it. He turns right around and tells them. Not only does he tell him that, he says, I'm going to raise the dead. And he also says, the Father's committed all judgment to me, the Son, and I'm going to judge all people and all things. He doesn't say, be careful. He doesn't say, if you're not going to be nice to me, I'm going to judge you on judgment day. I'm going to send you to hell. That's not what he said. He wouldn't do that. He was trying to explain to them who he was. He couldn't tell a lie. Now, you see, like they said, there's an old saying, you know, kill them all and let God sort them out. Now, there's another saying that if I was God, I'd know what I'd do. You see, God is not a man. And men are not gods. Except there is a scripture. Christ even repeated it. You're gods. Because you're a child of God. At any rate, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. The hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father has life in himself, so has he given to the Son to have life in himself, and have given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. He went on to tell him, didn't he? This is who the Son of God is. He did not stop at all. He continued. And we'll pick up next week. Father, we thank you for your word. Bless those that have heard this whenever they hear it, Lord. Grant them understanding in this teaching tonight. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from this word. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Tower.
Okay, I'm back. We don't have much time, but that's a good word. It's sad that people are blinded and can't see, that they get so angry at what the Lord is doing, the miracles that he's performing. Just as it astounds me how blind people are and deluded.
Well, that's true. Well, at any rate,
I'm glad he's revealed himself to all of us and to all who listen.
Yeah, me too.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen to that. Time does go by fast, but we wanted to get this word in. We wanted to get this to where we could start this, and I'm glad we did.
Yes, me too. Okay, well, I think we got to go.
Yep, we do. Say good night.
Good night, everybody. We love you, and we pray for you, and you have a good
Good night.
We thank you for joining us today on WARN Radio, the Watchman Alert Radio Network. This is the Watchman, and for all of us here, shalom, everyone. See you again on the radio.